This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Roll it along and hope you are rolling along as well. It is Keith Irizarry with you, VSiN Cashing Out, and going to go now to the Progressive guest line. And there are people that you get an opportunity to meet through work that then become basically family to you. And Dave Sharapan is on that list for me. Host of Bostonian vs. The Book. You can see him in so many different places. Follow him on social media, SportsBK, Consig. And Dave Sharapan, like, quite literally, is one of my favorite people I have ever met in this field. Dave, what's up, brother?
Great to actually be back on the air with you. Was so excited.
Been a little bit too long. Yeah.
Yeah, that the producers reached out. I mean, we used to kick it, MLB Network, and do our thing with the baseball and so many other different, you know, things. And you're right. It was,
did we lose Dave?
It was great because at the beginning, it was one of those situations where you had me at a low. The first show we ever did, we knew we had a connection, and we get to do it again tonight on Cashing Out on VSiN. It's great.
Serious, man. You cannot be serious.
You guys got me now?
Hey,
I don't know. Yeah, technology sometimes is pretty crazy, Dave. You know, sometimes technology is interesting. All right, so Dave, you have been doing this, you know, odds making thing for a long time. Make heads or tails of the NBA finals as we move into game three.
I am not surprised by the number for game three. It's an automatic take for the bad guys, limit players, big players at six. But it's an automatic lay at four if you put the Thunder at four. So you have to be over four, but not quite at six. So you settle in at either five and a half, which is what a lot of books are. Now, we saw an epic comeback as well as I don't know if I want to use the word collapse, but what happened in that first game was unprecedented. And we saw them fix it in game two. The Thunder are a better team, deeper team. Yes. So am I surprised that they're favored? No. Do I think they're going to win? Yes. The total, rinse and repeat, KI, it barely went over. Use the same number. Change of venue doesn't matter. 228 and a half, whatever it takes.
Yeah, I look at the series and I kind of agree with you there too. I came in thinking it was a 5-game series. I kind of still think it might be a 5-game series. I think the Thunder can reel off four in a row. Because you look at Indiana, everything that the Pacers do well, Dave, the Thunder do better. And the Pacers have literally led for 0.3 seconds in this series. So I would take the Thunder. I'd take the Thunder in each game. I take a lot of overs. 72 points through two games for SGA. Feels like he's just finding his way to score rather easily. So that's the way I would look. Let's move to the ice. Stanley Cup. Your boy Brad Marchand. I don't know why I decided to call him your boy, Brad Marchand. But anyway, Brad Marchand has been a difference maker for these Florida Panthers, huh?
Oh, he is everything you could have hoped he would be when you acquired him for the Panthers and then some. This has been elite level hockey for two games. Game three was a setup. I mean, I was talking about game three before game two even happened. And I was like, there is no question in my mind that Florida's going to win game three. Now, the manner which they did it, Keith, wasn't surprised that they won by multiple goals. I was just surprised the way it went down towards the end. Edmonton lost their composure. Edmonton lost everything that they do or should be doing. And played right into Florida's hands. Will that carry over into game four? The number's the same, 140, 145. You don't jump it up because of the result. It's in the same venue. It's in the same place. Will it be the same goalies? I don't think Edmonton's making a change. But if they get down a couple early, will they make a change? One of those situations where you're trying to rally the team something. I don't know, because I feel like Florida wins game four, and it's only a matter of time, whether it's five or six, that they win the series.
Do you get a feeling, and again, Dave Sharapan joining us right here, cashing out Keith Irizarry on VSiN. Follow Dave on socials, Sportsbook Consig. Do you get a feeling that Florida is just a bad matchup for Edmonton?
I do. Yeah. And as different as Edmonton is this season versus last season, I just feel like they're deeper. They got that little bit more of that gritty sandpaper feel. Hyman being out hurt them, but it's not a good matchup, especially when Florida can get ahead, get physical, keep McDavid away from making plays. Draisaitl did not have a shot yesterday, did not have a shot on goal, didn't even take a shot that was wide. These are their two best players. And when those guys are going, they're as good as anybody in the league. But yeah, I mean, I saw McDavid on his butt a few times yesterday. He never gets hit enough where he's, you know, literally on the ice. Florida has the right matchup. And with them having the last change, Maurice is really dialing it up perfectly.
Yeah, I love Florida in this one. You and I are both hockey guys. We follow along this league. We know a lot of the history of this league as well. When you think about Connor McDavid and the fact that he's in a second consecutive Stanley Cup, we both are sitting here right now feeling like the Edmonton Oilers will lose this. Is this bad for the league that he's getting there 2 years in a row? And I say he and Connor McDavid, I know it's a full team, but Connor McDavid would fall 2 years in a row.
I don't know if it's bad for the league. I know it's bad for Connor McDavid, and it's definitely bad for Edmonton, because as it continues to happen, then the rumbling starts. He can't win here. We need to make a move. We need to maybe move someone else. There has to be a change. Getting to the Stanley Cup final back-to-back years is a pretty big accomplishment, but then losing. Now, last year they came back from a 3-0 deficit. So I'm not saying the series is over. In fact, right now, I think Edmonton will win game five at home, even if they're down, you know, 3-1.
3-1, so, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're going to win game five. Now, what will it mean for Edmonton going forward, the league going forward? I don't know. Everybody's starting to talk about, you know, guys in biz are talking about on the pregame about the tax and the different things. Florida's just that team. They have so many guys between Bennett, Verhaeghe, I mean, Bob and goal. Look at the Conn Smythe list. Marchand's there now, but they have so many guys. They're a deep, nasty hockey team historically that's going to get their due if they win this thing.
So, Dave, when I teased that you were coming on here and talked about how great we are, that you are as a friend, I said that we have a little beef going on. I hope you would indulge me. I'd like to read something to you, and then I'll let you react. So, the shortened term for championship is more commonly chip, especially in sports like basketball. While ship is sometimes used, chip is the more prevalent and widely understood abbreviation. Some also suggest that ship refers to the process of winning, while chip refers to the achievement itself. Now let's peel back the curtain. Dave and I have known each other now for about 5 years, I guess. We disagree. I think the championship should be shortened to chip. You routinely put out on Twitter and social media that it's ship. And I think you're wrong. And I think that AI and ChatGPT and whatever that was that I read just proved me right. Come on, Dave. Come on. Come to my side, Dave.
Listen, we're going to the ship. All right. You can't take away the Cucumbas and G Baby and those kids and what they did when they said we're going to the ship. All right. Now you can win a chip. I will give you that, all right? Just like the World Series of Poker is here in Vegas, and there's a lot of chips and a chip in a chair, and you have a chance. There's chips all over the table. That's fine. You can win a chip, C-H-I-P. But if we're going to the ship, it's S-H-I-P. I don't care what ChatGPT said, and you know I love you and your bald head no matter what, whether it's a chip or a ship.
Wait, so... Did we just come to a little bit of, because I agree with you. I think you can go to the ship, but I think you win the chip. So did, like, 5 years later of friendship, did we finally figure out that we're kind of both right?
I think we did. I think that was one of those moments that you and I are both going to remember, and we've got to share it with all the listeners here on Cashing
this
Out.
This is great.
That's pretty exciting. Yeah, yeah, that was good. By the way,
this
Kike
is pretty amazing.
Has his pitch for the Dodgers right now.
Oh, God.
He's in a setting of work. Yeah, he's given up a couple runs, but I can't remember a position player coming in earlier than the sixth inning, in which he came in and got the last out of the sixth inning for the Dodgers tonight, trailing 11-0.
Yeah, the over hit in that game, the Padres team total obviously hits in that game too. I got 30 seconds with you. How's baseball season treated you?
Listen, I wish the Pirates won more games when Paul Skenes pitched. It's been a little bit rough in that respect. But in general, I think it's been pretty good. The National League is very good. My favorite play of all the plays that I made before the season was the Tigers season wins over. Season is going very well as far as that goes.
Dave, love catching up. Say hi to Jess and the girls. Hope all is good with you, man. And we'll talk to you very soon.
Always. Thank you for having me. Talk soon.
There he is, the great Dave Sharapan. I call him Swaggy D, Diamond Dave. There might be no one that is better dressed in this space than Dave Sharapan. Off to the NBA we go next. It is Cashing Out on VSiN. I am Keith Irizarry. Keep it locked right here.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Got some ugly baseball going on right now. It's Keith Irizarry cashing out on VSiN. Padres up 11-1 on the Dodgers. It is the top of the eighth. The Dodgers have the bases loaded. Maybe they'll be able to add a little bit here. It is interesting to look at the pitchers. Kike Hernandez is now going inning and third, giving up two hits, one earned run. So Kike has been the best pitcher for the LA Dodgers on a night that they are down 11-1. That is crazy. Oh my goodness. Diamondbacks are up 9-2 as they are going to the eighth inning against the Mariners. Angels and A's are now in the top of the 10th. And they are tied at one. We are getting ourselves ready for game three of the NBA Finals. And what I found interesting going into this NBA Finals, there was this strong narrative about how, like, half the world just wasn't going to care about the NBA Finals. And then you had the people that hate ratings and go, you're wrong, everyone will watch. Well, unfortunately, the ratings police has kind of been correct. Game two of the NBA Finals between the Thunder and the Pacers drew 8.76 million viewers on ABC. You would go, almost 9 million viewers. That sounds good. It's actually the least watched game two since 2007. Obviously, take away 2020. All the numbers were very skewed in 2020 because of the global pandemic. It's weird, man. You got SGA, who is a superstar. The thing is, he's not flashy, and everything he does is kind of like, you're like, oh, okay, it's cool, but he's not like dunking on anybody or anything like that. And on the Pacers side of things, like, Indiana is not the sexiest team or market out there. Well, SGA, if he were a guy that was dunking all over people, maybe you'd care more, but really you should be paying attention because he is the, you know, first player since Dwayne Wade, well, actually LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Rick Barry to go back-to-back games with 30 or more points and three or more steals in the finals. Also, SGA has been absolutely dominant as well. The most points through two final games, he's got 72. Look at the other names. So you go back to Iverson in 2001. That was against the Lakers. They win game one. You had the epic three-pointer, step over, Ty Lue, and, you know, score a boatload of points in the next game, but get swept four consecutive games there. I know you win game one, there's gentlemen sweep. Don't mix my words together. Then you get Jordan, 69 points combined in 1991. Jokic, 68 in 2023. Kevin Durant, 68 in 2012. So some first ballot Hall of Famers all across the board. I guess the difference between SGA and those guys, well, SGA won the MVP this year, and he is routinely believed to be either the best player or the second best player or the third best player in the league. Iverson had the wicked crossover and like the swaggy style to him. Jordan was the best player in the NBA. He was dunking on everybody. Jokic was a multiple-time MVP, had this aloof nature about him while winning this NBA championship. And Kevin Durant was widely considered just the best scorer in the NBA when he was doing this. This is an odd series. Let's bring up the finals MVP odds, because it is so heavily slanted right now that if it's not SGA, it would be shocking. SGA is minus 475 to win your MVP. I guess if the Pacers were to go on a run, you'd believe it's got to be Halliburton, 6-1 odds. If you're sitting there, keep this graphic up, by the way, while I continue to talk about it, please, guys back in the control room. If you're sitting there and thinking about betting on the Pacers to win this series, then I would bet Siakam at 19-1 to be your MVP. Like, I don't really believe in Nembhard, 100-1. It's not going to happen. Miles Turner, 100-1, not going to happen. Nesmith, 300-1, not going to happen. On the OKC side of things, I don't think it's going to be Chet. He's too inconsistent, 80-1. J-Dub, sure, maybe 50-1, probably not. And you're not going to go Lou Dort. So realistically, again, if you believe that the Pacers can come back and, you know, kind of counteract what you saw in game two and really what you saw in game one for 47 minutes and 59 seconds, essentially, the bet here is Siakam for MVP at 19-1 odds. There's no value in SGA. Sorry, you missed your window on any value on SGA. This is a series that is now really all about the Thunder. So you got to try to find your sharp edge there as you kind of move into the next game. And when we look at it, Thunder are 5.5-point favorites on the road against the Pacers. The over-under in this one, 228.5. The over feels like the smart play here. I guess if you think the Pacers can keep this close, maybe plus 5.5 is the play there for the Pacers. That might be the best look. If you still can get plus 5.5, it's now moved to plus 5. You get plus 5.5 at close to even money. Probably the smartest play there for Indiana. You have to believe that Tyrese Halliburton. Now, the Pacers are telling us that limp you saw after the game, it's nothing. He's fine. I also I laughed. There was a post on, I think it was Twitter, about real hoopers know that he's not hurt. This is just how you walk after playing a bunch of basketball. Like, you have that like limpy kind of walk to you. Halliburton is just inconsistent. And it's the reason why that this superstar conversation, honestly, I felt was kind of dumb. And I don't know if that's a strong word, because I'm sure people even here on the network were talking about whether or not he's a superstar and whatnot. He's not. He's a very clutch player at Tyrese Halliburton. He has had superstar moments, but you can't tell me that you're a superstar when you have multiple quarters in a row where you can't score, where you're basically non-existent. And that is what we are seeing from Tyrese Halliburton throughout this postseason. For all of the great comeback wins that the Pacers have had, multiple wins coming back from 15 points down. What is it, 4 now, right? And clutch moments where Halliburton is hitting shots with less than a minute to play and less than 30 seconds to play and with 0.3 seconds to play in game number one of this series. There are also the quarters where he goes scoreless. And there are also the quarters where he's on the bench because he at times is unplayable. Not a superstar, has some superstar moments, has had a really fun postseason. And again, it's not over. Like, that's the other interesting part about this is as much as we go into game three and it really feels like the Oklahoma City Thunder have dominated this series, because they have, it's still 1-1. And the Pacers kind of did what they needed to do, right? You go to OKC for game one, game two, you need to steal one. They stole game one and literally, quite literally, stole game one. The first time they led that game was with 0.3 seconds left. That is not supposed to happen. The Oklahoma City Thunder had a 15-point lead with like less than 9 minutes to play. OKC doesn't lose those games, but they did. And in game number two, they went back to their normal starting lineup, which, by the way, that was the mistake of Mark Daigneault in game number one. Like, why do you mess with something that has been working? Chet Holmgren, the twin towers of him and Hartenstein in the starting lineup, had basically been unbeatable all year long. It was playoffs and regular season combined. I think their record was something like 27-4 or 28-4, something to that effect. Like, why do you mess with that? I know you like Cason Wallace. You threw him in the starting lineup. It didn't work. You lose that game. You go back to the twin towers of Hartenstein and Holmgren. Get off to a good start. Kind of punch Indiana in the face right off the bat. And you make sure that they have no chance of coming back. And that is a big thing in this series as well, too. And it's because of what the Pacers have been able to do throughout the postseason. Oklahoma City let their foot off the gas in game one. They allowed the Pacers to open up that door and get back into the game. Well, they lost. They didn't allow that in game number two, and I don't think they'll do it in game number three. Hey, if you want to know where the money is really going, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com. Subscribe. We got a lot more to do this hour. You want to keep it locked right here. Cashing out VSiN. I am Keith Irizarry. Do not go anywhere.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, yes, it is cashing out on VSiN. I am Keith Irizarry. Thank you for spending your night and your morning with me. Joining us now on the Progressive guest line is Zach Rieger, college baseball analyst, sports betting dime, Zach Rieger 18 on social media. Zach, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. It's an exciting time in college baseball. Very happy to be here. How are you doing here?
I'm good. If I tell you, if I just read this line and say only three of the original eight top seeds remain in Arkansas, LSU, Oregon State, is that a good thing for the College World Series? Is that a bad thing? Or do you have a different take on it?
Oh, I think it's a fantastic thing. I mean, you look at, there's a lot of things you can really factor in when you see the eight teams that made it. One, who doesn't love a good underdog story? You have Murray State, the fourth ever four seed to make it. And then you look at even last year, it was four SEC teams, four ACC teams. Kind of fun if you want to look at it, all the big dogs going at each other. But I like the disparity. I like a couple SEC teams, one ACC team, got some Sun Belt. You've got three of the original Pac-12 teams, which is kind of funny in its own right. So I like the disparity, and it is kind of interesting when you look at this era of NIL. We kind of thought the mid-majors, don't know if they're going to make it to Omaha, how many will we get any? And now we have a good amount in Omaha. We have a lot of disparity. I think it's great for the game of college baseball.
From a betting standpoint, what are some of the, I don't know, theories or tactics that you utilize, and then you tell people as you go into the College World Series and you go to Omaha?
So it's really interesting this year because it's very top heavy. When you look at the betting favorites, you've got Arkansas and LSU right there at the top, as they should be. So there's a couple things with this year I'm looking at, and I'm kind of curious. I'm sure we'll talk about it here in a little bit, that huge LSU-Arkansas matchup. I'm curious about where the odds go for the loser of that game, how far they will drop, if there will be some value there. But then I also look at Omaha in kind of its own little entity, if you want to call it, because it's such a pitcher's ballpark. You have to factor in the wind. When it's blowing in, it's tough to hit home runs. So you really want to look at pitching depth. You want to look at the flexibility these pitching staffs can have, because this is 2 weeks of game after game. You're going to have to throw in guys when you don't want to yet. You want to save them for a semifinal matchup. You might not have the opportunity if you're facing elimination and you just have so many games on top of each other. So pitching is a huge factor here in Omaha in this ballpark.
Love it. Zachary, you're joining me. Keith Irizarry cashing out on VSiN. Let's run through some of the games. Coastal Carolina, Arizona, 2 p.m. Eastern. It gets started on Friday, June 13th. You and I have not spoken yet about this. I loved Coastal Carolina going into this. Thought they were a team that could be a dark horse, and they have been playing great baseball. How would you play this game?
I'm really looking at Coastal Carolina here. I actually just picked them to be my champion at plus 650.
Let's go.
Heading into Omaha. I like them. I bet them plus 124 to beat Auburn. Did I think it was going to be two games? I'll be honest, I don't know. I thought it might have gone three, but I love this Coastal team. How can you not? They have won 23 straight games in baseball. This is absurd. And they were in the Sun Belt, not an easy conference to have a winning streak like this. They run through their regional and they go into Auburn, a team that swept LSU earlier this season and beat them in two games. And that incredible lineup they have with Ike Irish. They just have such great pitching depth, and I love their path to at least get to the championship, maybe get a hedge opportunity if one presents itself, because they are on the other side of the bracket than LSU, Arkansas. And then this game, Arizona, they are a little scary. They're hot. They've won 10 of their last 11. They won the Big 12. They just faced a great pitching staff in North Carolina in their own right. But I just think Coastal is too much here. They don't make mistakes. I talked earlier about hitting the home run, scoring runs in Omaha. Coastal Carolina scores a lot of runs, but they manufacture them. They don't rely on the long ball. They steal bases. They led the Sun Belt in steals. And then defensively following up their pitching, they don't make mistakes. They were number one in fielding percentage in the Sun Belt.
Zach Rieger again joining me. Keith Irizarry cashing out. Let's go to the Oregon State-Louisville matchup, 7 p.m. Eastern time. To me, on paper, it kind of looks like two opposing teams. They do things a little bit differently. So how would you handicap this game?
This one, I'm looking at Oregon State here. Louisville, they've been good. They have the pitching. They like to manufacture runs just like Coastal Carolina does. But there's just something about it. I didn't necessarily love what I saw in that Miami Super Regional from them. And Oregon State, they're just a team, a lineup that I want to back right now. I'm looking at them minus 160 right now, waiting for the run line to come out, see what those odds are. That's what I'm looking at with Iva Arquette. I think they have the pitching advantage, whether they throw out Dax Whitley, whether they throw out Ethan Kleinschmidt. I think the Beavers right now, they were kind of a fun story getting here, being an independent this season. They had to kind of put together a weird schedule, made some weird trips out to the Midwest during their regular season. And now they made it. There was a lot of talk maybe they shouldn't even, you know, be the number eight seed. But then they showed why. They got popped in the mouth, losing to St. Mary's. And I think that might have been the best thing to happen to them. They outscored their opponents 50-6 and the rest of the regionals. And then they're, and then one, obviously, in game three against Florida State to get to Omaha. I like what I'm seeing from the Beavers. I think they're the hotter team. I think they're the better team, more complete team. So I like them to win. And I will be potentially looking at the run line here, the -1.5 as well.
Nice. You mentioned Dax and Ethan combined to strike out 21 batters over 10 2/3 innings. Let's go to Saturday now. Game number three, number 15, UCLA taking on Murray State, 2 o'clock Eastern. And UCLA has been dominant, outscoring their opponents 50-16. A word that I would use to describe them is patient. And then Murray State, you mentioned they're kind of the darlings, the Cinderella. So what's the play in this game?
This one's interesting. I'm going back and forth. I think UCLA wins, but I might be looking at Murray State on the run line here. I'm thinking we'll probably get like a +2.5 based off what the opening money line odds were. Four seeds have actually done pretty well in Omaha. They're the fourth team to make it. Fresno State, of course, went on to win it all in a crazy Cinderella story. Stony Brook in 2012, they lost both their games. But then Stony Brook, just a few years ago, they won their first game against TCU when no one thought they had a chance. So Murray State in this first game, I don't hate them. They just keep finding ways to win. I don't think they think they're an underdog. This is still a good team. UCLA, of course, has just been quietly just dominating their teams, as you said. But I think Murray State can keep it close here in the first game. Their pitching depth is, of course, worrisome, but I think that can be more down the line. I think they'll throw everything they can at this first game, and I think they'll keep it close here.
Murray State top 50 rankings nationally in batting average, slugging percentage, runs scored per game. So they are clearly an impressive team. Arkansas, LSU, probably the headline matchup that is game number four. I go back and forth on this one. I'm leaning Arkansas. Which way would you lean?
I'm leaning LSU, but this is one that is going to be a game time decision. It's going to be a game time decision. Like, it's close. I wish I could argue with you for Arkansas. Like, this is one of those matchups that is so close, and it's so crazy that they are playing in the very first game. Like, this is Arkansas's reward for just winning very impressively, I should say, against Tennessee, but a very highly emotional game. And now their reward is to play LSU, who's coming to their 20th College World Series. This is a game I'm not even looking at ticket prices in Omaha. I'm just going to be outside the stadium watching on the big screen. This is going to be a very exciting game, very exciting atmosphere. The pitching in this one, it's probably going to be Zach Root and I'm blanking Cade Anderson for LSU. LSU won the regular season series 2-1. I don't know how much that weighs into it. I think just LSU, they're both so, like, such complete teams. I am looking at the under here, which is a little scary with Arkansas's lineup. I mean, they can just hit home runs nonstop, but LSU, they don't hit quite as many home runs, which I think helps them a little bit in this ballpark. But I think this is going to be a real pitcher's duel. They're going to try to get as many innings out of their number one guy so they can just go to their next guy and really rest their pitchers to try to win. And like I said earlier in the show, the loser of this game, they're definitely not out of it. So keep an eye on the odds. You might get some value there.
Fun stuff. Zach Rieger, college baseball analyst, sports betting dime. I know you're heading out to Omaha. Enjoy, man. We'll talk again very soon. Cashing out continues to roll on.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Great spot there with Zach Rieger talking all things college baseball. And listen, if you're into college baseball, you're going to love what we have cooking at VSIN. Money moves, follow the money. We're going to be live from Omaha. They're going to have sights, sounds, best bets of the tournament. I know that the Money Moves crew is... JVT's talking about the Jell-O shot challenge. He's all in. I don't know if Stormy's in for that, but I know JVT is all in on the Jell-O shot challenge. So I head over to vsin.com/CWS for all the details. You also get a free College World Series betting guide. So it's definitely worth you checking that out. Speaking of checking things out, the NBA Finals, Game 3, we are nearing in on it. And as you kind of break this series down, again, there are highs and lows for both of these teams. It's more about the highs for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And the other thing you look at is who's doing what. So just take a look at the box score, right? So simply for the Pacers, they're getting well-balanced attack. It's just that it's not enough against the Thunder. And that's going to be one of the issues. And I came into this series, it was my big thing, my big point. Keith Arizari's big point is that the Pacers and the Thunder are a great matchup on paper. Everything the Pacers do, the Thunder do better. So the Pacers like to play up-tempo. The Thunder play even faster. The Pacers, you know, will dig into you defensively. The Thunder have even better defenders on there. I mean, like everything, right? So Siakam at 15 points. Nesmith had 14 points. You like that? That was an over. Miles Turner, 16 points, but only 4 rebounds. So he missed his points and rebounds prop. Andrew Nembhard is an interesting one. And I played this a lot during the regular season. Andrew Nembhard over 10.5 points was a really good play throughout the season. He had 11 points in this one. Some of the game 3 props. All right, let's run through these and we'll break it down. SGA, 33.5 points. The over at minus 125. It feels good. Not sure I'm going to rock with that one. But J-Dub is probably the one that I would look at. So he had 19 points on what you would deem a lackluster game. 5 of 14 shooting. Only 1 of 5 from 3-point land. He did go 8 for 9 from the free throw line, but 19 points. I'll take the over on J-Dub on his points. I just mentioned Pascal Siakam. He had 19 points in the last game. 15 points in the last game. And he, to me, is the X factor. You kind of know what you're getting out of Halliburton, even though I've told you time and time again that, you know, it's a little bit up and down with him. But Siakam, 19.5 points. If you believe the Pacers have any chance in this one, and I think they can keep this close, it's got to be Siakam. Nembhard, there's your number, 11.5. And boy, the books are adjusting. They know what they are doing. I do not like that number at all. I like the over 10.5. I don't like 11.5. I would stay away from it. I can't do it. Obi Toppin is someone I can't play because 17 points in game number 1, 5 3-pointers, and then he bounces back with a minus 9, and he's got 3 points. Can't do it. Alex Caruso, his points are not the play here. He is a combo guy. So if you're going to go with Caruso, who had 20 points in the last game, sure, the over 8.5 is playable, but it's not the best play. I would probably look more towards his points and rebounds or his points and assists. That's where you're going to get some of your value there in that one. I think we have some rebound props as well. If we have those, let's pull those up. The rebound props are interesting. The assist props are sometimes interesting as well. Rebounds for me, like someone I'm looking at is Chet Holmgren time and time again, because he's got to figure it out. 6 rebounds ain't cutting it, but it seems like that's the path. I think the under is your play here. Plus 114 is sneaky good value on Chet Holmgren. The under on his... Oh, I thought we were going rebounds here. That's points there. 7.5 points is what we have on our screen there. I still think the under on his rebounds is a very good play for him. What else am I looking at here for rebounds? J-Dub is usually around 5.5 or 6. I'll stay away from that. SGA had the 34 points, had the 8 assists and the 5 rebounds. So you definitely could look at his points, rebounds, and his assist prop. That is something that is clearly playable. I don't think you're going to get another Aaron Wiggins outpouring of points. 18 points in game number 2. I'd probably stay away from that. Again, in this one, 123-107 is what you saw in game number 2. The over is the play in this one. It's the way to get your best value in the matchup. Again, we are now less than 24 hours away from game number three. It'll get started at 8:30 Eastern. Thunder and the Pacers tied at one in a series where it feels like Oklahoma City has dominated. But with all the dominance, they are still only up. They still are tied 1-1 in the series. And technically, the Pacers have the advantage, right? You're heading back to a very tough place to play, their barn, where the Pacers fans are going to be raucous. They are going to be, I'm sure Pat McAfee will be there getting the crowd riled up, unless, you know, him and John Cougar Mellencamp haven't been able to squash their beef. And John Cougar Mellencamp is Mr. Indiana, apparently. Was that the weirdest beef you've ever seen? Like the weirdest? So you go back to that Knicks one, right? And McAfee comes out and he does his WWE style, you know, set up and trashes, you know, John Stewart and Ben Stiller and some of the other Knicks fans. And then John Cougar Mellencamp acted like he didn't know who McAfee was and said that not all Indiana fans are like this. Very, very odd. I did not have it on. I don't know if this is still a cool thing to say, but I did not have it on my bingo card that John Cougar Mellencamp and Pat McAfee would have a little squabble, a little dispute over the Indiana Pacers. Did not see that. Switching gears, let's go to the NFL really quick. And Aaron Rodgers is now a Pittsburgh Steeler. Aaron Rodgers is not really moving the needle from a betting standpoint. You know, the win total is still basically stuck at 8.5. I like the over. I've told you that. Death, taxes, Tomlin, over 500. Aaron Rodgers, he's better than you think. I'm just saying, 3,800 passing yards, 28 passing touchdowns, barely double-digit interceptions, and you got to look at science here too. It has been proven that athletes coming back from torn Achilles have, you know, a little bit of this the period where you're trying to figure it out that first year back. It's the second year back where you're you again, right? Now, this is uncharted waters because you've never had a guy that's about to turn 42 come back from this Achilles injury the way he has. And he was solid last year. Can he be better? I don't think the Steelers are going to ask him to throw the ball as much as he was willing to throw the ball in New York with the Jets. DK Metcalf, he is a top-tier wide receiver. So you've got a real bona fide weapon there. They need to get something else there. Need to figure out the defense. Need TJ Watt to actually be there. I know he's not really holding out. He just didn't show up to these workouts. All is good. Everything's going to be fine. It's going to be a roller coaster ride. And obviously, starting the season off, Steelers versus the Jets. The NFL schedule makers, man, they know what they are doing. You think they had an inkling that Mr. Rodgers was going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler? Yeah, they had an inkling. The Steelers chose to wait it out, go in Aaron Rodgers, still have, you know, other options there if you need it. But Rodgers is going to be the man. He's going to be leading this team. And I think they still get the over. I'm playing the over 8.5. I'm going to beat this drum until it's no longer beatable. Now, none of the other things I like, they're not winning the Super Bowl. They're not winning the AFC Championship. And they're not going to win the AFC North. I think there's just too much firepower in the AFC North. But I do think they do get to the action. Are you ready for some action? Are you ready to get in on some? First bet. Hey, they have you covered. Sign up now to access exclusive promotions and bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races every single day right from your phone or your computer. Visit firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. You do not want to miss out. Start betting today at firstbet.com. Still a boatload to do here. Baseball is done for the night. We'll recap that and maybe start looking at the Wednesday slate. Let's cash in out on VSiN.